Harry is the elder of the elders here at Faith Bible Church, and kind of is the dad of the elders as he continues to give guidance and wisdom and insight because he's walked with the Lord for such a long time. So please give him a special ear this morning, and I trust that the Lord will work in your own heart as he brings God's word to you. So Harry, please come on up, share with us this morning.
You just call me daddy. There are just some things I do want to share with you this morning. Something that God has been laying on my heart, which means I'm the one that's been taking the beating ahead of time. But not really. The love that God has for us. Take your Bibles. By the way, you do have your Bible here, don't you? This, what do we call this church? Faith Bible Church. And so take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse starting with verse 1. And we'll just read through verse 3. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In these verses of Scripture, we find the word therefore. Therefore refers back to the other three chapters, the first three chapters. And those first three chapters, where Paul is talking and is explaining to the Ephesians all of the good things and all the blessings and all the things that God has for them and has placed into their lives as believers. He has spoken doctrine in chapters 1 through chapter 3. And after building all of this doctrine and saying who you are in Christ as being predestined and being born again and being new children of God, now he comes to the part of the practical. First he gives the doctrine, and now he gives the practical. And the practical is this: I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you. In other words, he's saying entreat or implore or to beg you to walk in newness of life. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Well, we know who the called ones are. They're the believers. Now, you may think this morning I'm speaking only to believers. Well, in a sense, I am. It's us believers who need to hear what God has to say for our lives. But those who do not believe or have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you can listen in also and realize what it means when you accept Christ, that who you are. And so we know that the called ones are those who are believers and have placed their trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his salvation that he committed, that he performed for us on the cross at Calvary. Now we also know that the one who is called is God. It's God himself. Now, let me just digress just a little bit with you this morning. I want to digress back to a place called Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Is that far enough back? Going on back that way. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think sometimes we don't grasp who is this God that we serve. How powerful is he? How magnificent, how awesome. You know, I like to bring us a little bit up to date sometimes, and this morning I like to bring up to the fact that you've heard of the Hubble telescope, and they've taken that Hubble telescope and put it into space so it'd be clearer and see how far we can see. And in all, and in all of this, one of the things we realize that we haven't been able to count the billions. You got that? And not getting into the trillions yet. But the billions of galaxies in the universe. And one day, God spoke, and there was nothing in this place that was there, and he spoke, and the universe came into existence. The billions of galaxies. Well, I have a hard time thinking in terms of billions of galaxies. I have a hard time thinking in terms of the billions anyway. But let's take in terms of one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Have you ever heard of the Milky Way galaxy? That's the one our planet is in. And in that galaxy was placed a small little planet with its own star. And in that planet, God created all the animals and all of the plant life, and he created man. We're a creation of God. And everything is in perfect order. It's an amazing thing. Who is this God? So awesome, so majestic, so wonderful that he has the power to speak it into existence. And then he holds it in his hands. He controls it. And our problem is we hate to think of this, but he also controls our lives. He's the all-powerful God. He's the all-knowing God. You know, I was kind of surprised one day when somebody says, you know, God can't learn. He knows everything. There's nothing left to learn. And he knows all about me, and he knows all about you. And you are his creation. Who is this magnificent God that has all power and will work these things through? It's his will. It's his understanding. And you and I are part of that. And we have been predestined before the foundations of the world to become his children. He's the one who called. He called you and me to be his. You know, it's an interesting thing that there's two people in this world. One of them that does their own thing and is after God, and not after God, is going his own way and is after Satan. But God is still in control. And at the end, they will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. The others have been chosen that are us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that he himself stepped down out of heaven because he so loved us. And gave himself on the cross at Calvary. And paid the price for our sins. What an amazing God. Who is this one that has called you and me? And then he's given us so many things. All blessings are ours. And we'll be able to spend an eternity with him in heaven. It's an amazing thing. And it's only when, I guess, we face death so imminent right there in front of us that we actually see, yeah, this is true. This is real. I know what life is all about. And we can only see that as we recognize that it is God who controls all. It's an amazing thing. He holds everything together. And this little old planet he gave us, and he put us on, and now we are his, and he controls even those who are lost that have never received the Lord Jesus. And he has offered him as a gift. It's interesting. He knows everything that there is to know. And he's called us and made us his children. Now, some of you here have had children or have children. And there's some things you want with that child. You want them to represent you, don't you? You don't want them to make and embarrass you or to go wrong because of their own lives being hurt by it. But you want them to have the good life, a brilliant life, the best life. And the thing is, that's what God wants with his children. He wants you and I to walk worthy of the calling that he's called us to. He's given a call to us. Different ones have different things that God has set up for us. We read history and we can see all the different things that have happened and gone through with the Christians. Those who serve Christ. Those who are hardcore on the ball with him and will not change. Won't change their hearts. They've died on the cross. They've died by fire and being burnt at the stake. Many martyrs. There's others that have served him in foreign areas and foreign places. But they've all been called. And each one is called for specific things in their lives. I like that passage where we're just reading in Ephesians. But I want to read another passage to you from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. And once again we find Paul begging, actually imploring believers. Where he comes along in chapter 12 and he says, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I urge you," really saying, "I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." What's the will of God? The will of God is that we present our bodies totally, absolutely, as a total sacrifice. Because you see, when I received Jesus Christ as Savior, and you did too, you were bought with a price. The price was the God himself dying on the cross at Calvary. And he bought you with a price. That was the price that he paid. Can you imagine the price that he paid on that cross for me and for you. And I'm no longer my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm his. Right on. I don't want to be anybody else's. I don't want to be any other way. And the main reason is because he's righteous. He's just. And he loves me and he never does me wrong. Oh, he may put me through a lot of suffering and thing here on this earth. But in the long run, I have heaven ahead of me. Everything. I've been bought with a price and I belong to him. And he has me in his hand. And I'll tell you this, nobody, even myself, cannot take me out of his hand. That's who our God is. Can you get a grasp of who our God is? And then he asks you and I as his children to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called to. Oh. That means my body, everything that I have in my body belongs to him. And it better be done correctly. I need to do what's right. I need to do what's honest. I need to be what he wants me to be. I need to take care of this body, which I didn't do too well. That was my problem. In my earlier years. But we can talk with these young ones and let them see how important it is that we take care of our bodies in the right way. Wow. My body belongs to him. It doesn't belong to me. So I'd better make sure I knew what I was doing with it, right? But then he says to be transformed by the mind. And it's the mind that always gets me in trouble. My mind says to the hand, move, and it moves. My mind says, think on lust, and it does. I have to transform that. My mind says, think on riches. I've never had it. But you know, it doesn't mean that I don't look forward to it and say, well, you know, it'd be nice to have enough to at least pay my taxes or whatever else comes along. We need to be careful we don't take and idolize money. We can idolize so many other things, and we have to be careful what the mind sees and hears. That's why we need to be educated. Not by what our school system does. I don't think that that's all that we need. We need to know how to really learn to read and learn how to hear how people talk and what they have to say. We need to know the truth. And truth is so important to know. And if you do not have the education, if you do not have the understanding of how words are used and how people, different people, use those words, then we're at the mercy of those who teach and guide and direct. You might think I'm in favor of homeschooling, and in many ways I am, but I do believe that we need to really learn even to read the scriptures. So often we've misled and haven't been able to really take and understand what the Bible's saying. And this is what God is the Almighty God is calling you and I to do that worthy walk that he's called us to. Walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you in his own kingdom and glory. As a child of God. Therefore, we need to be able to know some things and do some things that God wants us to do. John 6:44 states this, "No one can come to me," Jesus is speaking, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. In verse 66 it says, and he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. You know something? According to the Word of God, I've already been glorified. I haven't got there yet, but there's one of these days I'll be up there with him. And that's the joy of knowing it. But there's something that he says here. He says that we have been called according to his purpose. We have been called to work for him and to be what he wants us to be and to be his children. And if we're called to be his children, then there's some things we need to not only learn, but do. Practice. Be what he tells us to be. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. What does God desire of you and me? You see, here's what I see in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians. He gives us everything. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power. Then he says, this is what I want you to be. Do it. Be it. Don't play at religion. Don't play at being at church. Don't play at Christianity. Be what God desires his children to be. That's what he wants. He wants us to walk in a worthy manner. Now, I haven't got to the rest of it yet, but we're going to find out that he tells us what that is. The awesome, almighty God has effectively called each believer to be his child and desires that he walks worthy of the calling that he's been called to. If you're a child of God and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God desires that you, and I have to keep pointing back here because he's been on me all the last few, about over a month now, really talking to my heart, that I need to be what he wants me to be. That means I've got to do a lot of changing. A lot of rethinking. A lot of reading and seeing what God really wants of me. What he desires. And then to practice it. Well, that's what I want. I really want that. I'm going to read verse 2. And 3 over again in Ephesians chapter 4. we read to begin with, he says, walk, we're to walk as he's called us to walk. And then it says, with all humility. Woo. You know what humility is? That's the same thing that Paul says over in Romans, is that you're to always think of the other person better than you. You know, God called you the same way he called me, and you're just as important to him. In fact, more important than I am. Can't you just get a thrill in your heart to know that you belong to God? But so many times we think, well, because I've been to church more, or I've been there longer, or I've done more studying, I'm better than others in the church. Sorry about that. That just makes me more responsible. The more I know, the more I'm required to have. That makes you a lot better than me. Got it? Humility is to think of the other person greater than you. You're lower. And I know and understand what Paul was saying when he says, I'm the chief of sinners. He got a good look at himself. Well, in studying this a little bit, I got a better look at myself, and I started taking a good look. One of the things I have a great difficulty with is the word pride. Did you know pride's the opposite of humility? We're braced with pride. And I brag all the time. Oh, you got me. You see where I am. How many times have I ever told you that I had been a Marine? And they walk on water. You know what I'm saying? There's no more greater warrior than a Marine, right? Wrong. It's the warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ that's the greatest. And the one knows himself before God. That's the greatest. But I brag about that. Nothing to brag about. Not really. And then I've got all other kinds of pride that rises up within me. I'm such a good American. You got that one? I'm better than everybody else in this world because I'm an American. I live in America. You know what pride is? Pride is it's not really that great here, is it? Oh, it may be better than some of the other countries that I've been in, but I'll tell you, there's none of them. Because I belong to another kingdom, and that kingdom is God's kingdom. Now, can I brag about that and have pride? I'm proud again. Every time I turn around, I'm turning back into pride. And if I start really searching my heart, I lose it every time. Because who am I? Oh, I'm more well-educated than others. Oh, baloney. That hadn't done me a bit of good. The only thing that's ever done me any good is my total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as much as I can. And thankfully, he helps me there. Can I brag that I'm a Christian? Huh. Boy, am I glad I'm a Christian, huh? What did I have to bring it about? Not a single solitary thing. It's God that did the whole thing. He ordained me before the foundation of the world. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. He got a hold of my heart and called me to him, and I responded, but it was him that had caused me to have the faith to believe in him. What do I have to brag about that I'm a Christian? All I can brag about is the glory of God. He's the one. Humility, that's what God wants us to walk in, is in humility, and boy, is it hard. So just take a good look at yourself and check it out. And God desires that we walk humbly as the Lord Jesus Christ did, because He expects us to be His children just like Christ was and is. Interesting, isn't it? You see how it really gets to my heart that this has been laid upon me? I think the greatest verses that can be is that as we look at number one, is that we look at God's standard of righteousness. And if I look at His standard, I do not measure up. It's too high. But He draws me and is going to conform me to the walking in His word and His way. He's the one that works in my life. He's the one that takes and uses the control over me. You know, we don't like to hear that as believers, do we? We don't like to hear the fact that we have been changed or being changed. We just thought that He would just be our Savior, not our Lord, not the one who commanded all that we are and will be, and that one day we'll be with Him in heaven and be perfect. And I won't have to worry about the sin problems I always get involved with. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount. You all remember that one, don't you? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heard that one? You ever take that word poor from the Greek and find out what that word poor really means? That means that you're just not a poor person, that you can barely eke out a living or barely just get by. No, it's the one that stands in the shadow, covered and begging because he doesn't have a single thing. Strictly beggar. And we're spiritual beggars before a holy, righteous God who's almighty, who speaks the worlds into existence, who speaks you and I into existence and creates us. And we're His creation, and He's the one that's controlling. And all I have to do is totally surrender my heart, and I try and I try. God, I want to change. I want to be what You want me to be. And it's a fight continually to be what God wants me to be. My kids will tell you I've changed some. They know what I used to be like. If they were to give a testimony about that, I wouldn't want to face you anymore. I was a real hard-nosed old man, or young man. They say God has done some changes, but there's so much more to do. And you know something? I want that change. I want what God wants me to be. I want to be humble. I want to be there where He's directing my life. But not only are we to be humble, but we're to be gentle. Now, whoever heard that you need to be gentle? That's meek. Wow. That's not what the world wants. They want you to be tough. They want you to get in there and fight. They want you to go, go, go. That's what the world is. And we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to be gentle. Jesus was gentle. And He calls us so that we will follow Him. I I came across the thought that I don't know whoever thought of it, but I like to copy others. There was a guy, he said, it's like a wild horse. You have a wild horse out there that's very on his own. He's doing his own thing. He can run. He can do all kinds of things that he wants to do. And he says, then he's captured. And he's tamed. And in the taming, is tamed correctly. And he still has the same spirit. He still has the same speed. He still has the same personality. But he is under control. He's got the power under control. And that's why I see gentleness is power under control of the master. Where's your anger? It's under control. I don't hold it. I hold it back. I keep it down. It's controlled. Where's this other? Where's that? Okay, sometimes it shows up. Then you quench it immediately. You learn how to handle it. It's under control because of the Holy Spirit within you that's given you the strength and the power to do that. Whew. Well, there's some other things that's named there, not just in this one passage, but in other passages. But this talks about the things that we can have is that not only is there gentleness, but there's also patience. Did you ever see a mother trying to teach a child with all the patience and love, and she does it over and over and over again, and as he grows and as he grows and as he grows, he soon becomes to learn what mom's teaching. And that's what God is doing with you and me. We're learning patience, how to lead, how to be with others, and how to guide and direct and to be with them, and them to be with us. And for me to learn patience. That's what God desires. Humility, gentleness, patience. I'm just reading right there from verses 2 and 3. And then showing tolerance for one another in love. To be tolerant. Oh, we're so quick to judge. So quick to condemn somebody for, well, they just didn't learn fast enough. Here I'm 81 and I'm still learning. I wish I'd learned a lot earlier. That's one of the things. And then being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that's what all of this is referring to. The unity has to do with the body, the believers, the church. We're to have that unity. We're a diverse group of people, but we're one body in Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you and I are brothers and sisters. And we need to think together and walk together and go together and be together in serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm for that. Are you for it? That unity of oneness in purpose and mind to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all that we have. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, help us. We need your strength and your understanding, and as you lead us and you guide us and direct us. And Lord, that we might have the desire to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called to serve the living God, who has all authority and is sovereign, and his will be done. Thank you, Lord, for each one this morning. We ask that you'll just open up our hearts to just really follow you in all that we are. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.